What up, what up, what up, everyone? It is your boy, Luami Richardson, and we are just dropping a new episode of Let's Talk About It. I have a special guest, one of my brothers from another, Cam Thomas. Man, how you doing today, Cam? How you doing, brother?
Man, I'm amazing, dude. I love the intro. I was vibing for a minute.
It's only 10 seconds. I don't want the people, the intro to be too long. You know what I'm saying? Get to the point. Let them know we're going to be started, man. But I just want to first and foremost, man, say thank you so much for hopping on and doing this podcast together, brother. So just a little backdrop. Cam and I met about 2 years ago. I moved to Nashville from Orlando, and a lot of things didn't go the way that I transpired. And we connected at the Dream Center. So we was volunteering for a lot of teens that was there. And man, from there, we connected and we bonded ever since, man, just having conversation about life, about mental health, about the struggles as men, and just our passion to really pour in to these young people's lives, man, is what really connected us. And we've been connected ever since, man. So I told, you know, Cam and I have multiple conversations. He has a podcast as well. So if you don't mind, share a little bit about your podcast and then we'll go from there.
Yeah. Thanks for the intro, man.
And no doubt.
You're on here, dude. First of all, I love your show. I love how it came to be. I love how sudden in it was like, boom, let's talk about it. Every single one I've been tuning in, catching clips, things of that nature. So thank you for having me on. I love it.
Means a lot, man.
Yeah. Zone Covers, the podcast, is a podcast that I created. It's been 2 years now, coming up on a two-year, well, just past the two-year mark. But I've gotten away from it the last, you know, several months because got my own head and things of that nature. But essentially, the podcast is about men reconnecting with each other and, you know, having more conversations, more vulnerability, talking about mental health, entrepreneurship, their journeys, things that they struggle with, that some trauma, so many things and so many different demographics. And I think that it was just bestowed upon me during the George Floyd murder and what we as the Black community went through and are still going through. But I had a lot to say, but I'm not one to, in my group and in my friend circle and family, I can definitely talk and things of that nature. But to talk about what I was feeling and what I was thinking during those times and some of the mental aspects that I stumbled upon during that time of not talking, it was like, man, I was like, yo, you love people, you love learning, you love pouring into others. I've been told that I've been a natural leader. And I just think that I'm drawn to people, people are drawn to me, and we just are cohesive in that aspect. But yeah, the podcast is essentially about all of those different things and really men talking to men and being able to not just talk to men, but also after you build that community and are able to be vulnerable with yourself and with your close-knit group of men, but also having those conversations with women and other people and kids and, and being able to show that tough exterior that we've been so in tune to let it down and let them see who you truly are and what we're truly thinking and feeling. I think that is really the grand scheme of it.
Well, it's kind of crazy because when we connected, you actually was wearing your Zone Coverage podcast t-shirt. So I was like, oh, you a podcaster? Yeah, I got so. I was like, man, this dude's legit, man. And tuning in and listening. But this is before I got to know your story and kind of really know your path, man. And so the fact that you had a podcast, what I didn't know after you was sharing that the George Floyd situation is what really spearheaded your passion to really share about what's happening in the community, mental health, et cetera. That's exactly what caused me to start my podcast was the George Floyd thing. So I was sharing thoughts about, you know, Candace Owens and her thoughts about the whole situation. And bro, that what started off as something that we saw happening, right, was spearheaded this idea of starting a podcast and really talk about issues that most people are kind of timid to talk about. And, you know, to be honest, bro, like people see someone like you, oh man, he's tough. He got it all together. But man, it's those conversations that you and I had, Cam, that it's like, nah, bro, like men really need to have these conversations. We are dealing with a lot of pressure, a lot of things that society and culture will tell you, man, you're a man, man up, suck it up. What you talking about? You ain't supposed to show no emotions. And, you know, especially with your background as a as an athlete and a football player, I know you, that you share with me, that's always been ingrained with you in you since you was a little child, man. So if you don't mind, man, just share a little bit about your journey. What got you to the point where you felt like, you know what, I need to talk about mental health. I need to talk about, you know, these vulnerable aspects of men, but more specifically Black men and the things that we're dealing with. So if you don't mind, man, tell us a little bit about your journey, your upbringing, your accolades and all of that, and what caused you to start this journey of talking about mental health.
Yeah, man, you're absolutely right, though. It's been engraved in me, but I feel like in men across the board, the more that, especially now being 32, but the last several years, you know, late 20s and on, you start to realize certain things, be observing, even through the racial tension and the things that you objectively see, you can't help but wonder where it comes from or why, like these men. Because typically in the racial tension is white men that we're talking about, and then that's being taught in the home, right? Or is passed down and things of that nature. And same as in the Black community, we have so many traditions that, you know, we're deeply rooted into generations of family, and we're passed down. And I feel like where we are is in a sweet spot where we got the best of both worlds, in a sense, and we're challenging those ideals, but also ourselves and the people around us. And the things that were engraved in me, you know, growing up in Pasadena, New Jersey, one, it's rough. So not having a dad in the house since I was a baby, and just having different being raised by all women. I'm the baby boy, and seeing them go through their own relationship issues in you know, the abuse or trauma or the lack of help or things of that nature. And they can only tell me what they will want me to be as a man, not tell me how to be a man. So when they were telling me or showing me or disciplining me and saying, hey, this is what you need to do. Yeah, it sounds good because it's coming from family and the people that are raising me, but at the same time, they were women. I didn't have a relationship, a communicative relationship with my grandfather. He didn't really talk. He said a man a few words. He loved you. He showed you he loved you, but in different ways. And growing up in that environment and then being someone who was bigger than most kids, was faster than most kids, more athletic, things of that nature, everybody wanted Cam to be on their team. And when Cam needed to be on the team, now it's a whole different set of rules that come into that, because when you grow up in an area where not much comes out of it, right? It's just love and family and chaos. So not much comes out of it that, you know, people talk about, but you're taught like, yo, when you have this type of ability, you have to make it out. You have to go somewhere and do something with this. And be able to withstand everything. One, that you're not told what to expect because who's been through it with you? Or who's been through it before you and your family? No one. So, okay, be a star athlete. You know, I'm the confidence in when I was on the field. Who I was on the field is completely different than who I walked around as, you know, outside of sports, because outside of sports is laugh, love, is learn, is free, all of those different things. On the field, I'm a killer. Like, on the field, like, I know I'm that guy. And I knew that at a young age. And everybody was telling me that because they saw a young Black man from the hood being able to go and do things that they weren't able to do, but they know that would generate a lot of freaking money.
Wow.
So, some of the things that you hear growing up when you're doing those things are, man, make sure you do this because you got to buy mama that big house. Not for mom specifically, but that's the talk. Like, the ideal is you got to take care of every single person.
So it wasn't, you was never allowed to just have your journey. It was this pressure of not your, it's, your journey is everybody else's journey. Your success is everybody else's success. And Wow. Yeah. Continue.
No. It's fine. It's not in the sense of family looks at you and say, you're only good to me because you can do X, Y, and Z and you got to make it out. No. I'm not saying that that was what was inbred, like breaded in me. I feel like the community and the coaches and the things that you hear, because everybody who is teaching you is coming from the same struggle, though. You know what I mean? So it's not like, oh, we got an NFL coach coming back to the neighborhood and giving back to the community, and he's seen and done things that no one else has. So when you hear from him, it's like, hey, I'm pouring to you because these are the different opportunities that's out there. But when you got people who crab in the barrel mindset, who come from the same struggle and the same chaos or the same trauma, or not learning how to handle credit, how to handle buying a home or renting a home, living beyond your means, doing all of those different things that our community just didn't know or was shunned from. And so the idea was, Cam, you're going to make it out. You have an athletic ability. Mm. This is the track record for people with athletic ability like yourself. And you got at a young age. Oh, yeah. This is the trajectory. So moving into the accolades and the career is like, yeah, I played for 25 years since I was five. Mm. Self-taught. Like, dad was, I was out there, trash can with a crate inside of it because I played quarterback, throwing targets. My mom would come out there, set different people in the neighborhood, I could get their trash cans or whatever, like playing pickup outside. Yeah, I always had a ball, But I loved other things as well. I loved to be able to, I love poetry, I love words, I love, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many interesting things that at that age, if I would go back, I would wonder, all right, if you didn't have a ball, if you didn't have an athletic ability, where does that trajectory go then? You know what I mean? I think there's a lot of our community as well. And still to this day, it's majority of athletics are Black. Right. The African-American men and women who are able to excel athletically because of their genetic makeup, whatever the case may be, and they take up majority of sports, right?
Right.
But at the same time, it's the knowledge in the background of not having all of the advantages to say, hey, if I didn't play a sport, man, what would I do? Like,
that's wild. So check this out. Actually, if you haven't read the book, I'm actually going through the book UOU by Eric Thomas. And he's actually talks about the very thing you're mentioning. He's like tapping into your superpower. Same kind of experience, Cam, as far as athletics. Well, you lived in the hood, like athlete, you know, sports is the way out. He was like, but man, I love playing the violin. But in the hood, you can never play the violin because you was going to be shunned. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not what you do. I think it was a violin, but it was some instrument. But he was like, man, but he always likes listening to classical music even now. And he thinks about what if playing this instrument was my superpower? Right. And so it's interesting that sometimes our environment, our culture kind of shifts our mind and saying, well, this is what you have to be, instead of really tapping in and allowing us to explore things that would be our natural gift or our superpower, as Eric Thomas would mention. And so it's interesting, man, as you're sharing, it's like, man, you had all of these extra interests, but sports was a thing. So let me ask you this: with sports being kind of the area in which you was kind of hyper focused, what are the things that you learned growing up as far as sports teaching you certain disciplines that you felt like you needed in order for you to be a man and to be successful, especially in the context of not having a father figure in the home? Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, I mean, that is. The one thing that I feel like most athletes, but I feel like football is different in a sense of the camaraderie, the toughness, the bat, like the terminology that is referenced or used in metaphors is typically with war or fighting or battle or things of that nature. So it's like, you're not going into it thinking more so strategically. A lot of times it's about your force. It's about your physicality. It's about what you can give in inflict on another man to get the extra yard, right? So with that going into it, being young, you're just playing. You're like, I just want to make a move on it.
Right.
It one lesson early on, I'll talk about two lessons. One lesson early on that I learned was about being a man. I was in sixth grade and I had a teacher, I think his name was Mr. Davis or something like that. And black guy, and my sister was 2 years above me and she was in the eighth grade at the time. And we were at lunch and I had just, I think, got a D on a test or failed a test. And he was like, "Hey, Cam, I want you to take this paper home and get it signed by your mom." And I'm like, "I know I got a game coming up. I cannot miss this game." So what I did was sign the paper. I got a piece of my, I got some stuff from my mom's signature on it. And I put the paper on top. I was practicing all night and finally got it. So she never saw the test. Mm-hmm. Long story short, took it back to the school the next day. He sees it. He asked me if my mom signed it. Yeah. He sees my sister in the hallway. He was like, "Hey, Audra, is this your mom's signature?" So I'm like, "Oh, you asked my sister?" Smooth. She was like, "No." I don't know what I did. Still to this day, I don't know what I did to piss her off. I used the remote because whoever had the remote for his conspiracy show, I probably took the remote that day. Right. But she was like, "No." And so I'm like, "Yo, wow." So he calls moms. He's like, "Yo, left a message because she didn't answer." Long story short, she come home, whoops me. I'm not going to tell you what she would be whipped in and how long she whooped me. I had practice that night. This is the lesson. She takes me down to the practice, right? Mm. And I'm the quarterback. I'm the star quarterback for the entire league. Every year, I got either MVP or player of the year for football and basketball every year. She takes me down there to make me quit. And she said, "Since you thought that you can be a man and this is how a man is supposed to act, I'm going to show you how to handle your business like a man. So you messed up. You go down there and tell them why you can't play." And bro, she ain't even walk all the way down. The coaches, "Miss Fletcher, what?" She ain't even talk to him. She was like, "And I go over there.
I can't play because I signed my mom's."
She took me to the game. This is a harsh lesson, but I get it, right? She took me to the game that Saturday, made me watch my team get whooped. Like, they got whooped in the first half. Like, and the whole time, she like, "You see what your decision led to? You see?" And I'm watching. Second half, I mean, at halftime, she says, "You learned your lesson?"
"Yes, ma'am."
"Go tell your coach that you can play the second half." I go out, kill. We come back, we win. What I learned in that, even, and I didn't really learn the lesson then, right? I'm in the sixth grade, didn't really learn the lesson then. Now, every year now in adulthood that I look back on it, I think about how, what she was trying to do, what she did, what I did, and then how easily she showed me how life can come at you fast and how those consequences can be so harsh and you have no control. Like, the fact that she was being a parent in that moment and giving me love and a lesson when I felt like I didn't do anything wrong enough for it to be this big of an impact. Right. And it wasn't really a huge impact, but to me, in my little world, missing that game, it was a huge impact. So when I translate, when I look back on those things, I'm like, yo, football calmed me down in so many aspects. If I didn't have the game, like, you, if you look back in my area, who knows where I would have been? I was always outside. It was always drugs around. It was, who knows what I, but my attention was set on the ball and things of that nature. And the structure around what football and really the sports taught me was I had father figures that grew in my life and who had to instill certain things. And I had to take pieces from each one. But football taught me one of the greatest life lessons. This is the second one. How I implement different things from taking different aspects from people's games. Like, I got the best that I could possibly get my sophomore year, junior year, because I was so infatuated with film study. I was infatuated with, like, looking at patterns, seeing how things work. Who, like, if he leans on his leg, if he has this arm, this wristband on, what the dumbest things. But to me, it was those intricate details that I can figure out how I need to respond or be proactive. And when I look at those different things and I'll say, oh, I like that back pedal. I like how he catches here. I like how he uses his hand here. And I'll take those things and it's putting on different pieces of armor in a sense to like go on and do this journey in this battle. But it's like, now I have different aspects. It's not just me solely saying, you know, I'm making his own, my own decision. It's like, I have different references. I have different things to pull from. And in life, I feel like we try to do every single thing ourselves. And we don't want somebody to say that, oh, I helped you, or oh, you got that from me, or whatever the case may be.
Right,
it's
right.
Me asking you about the podcast and marketing. It's like, yo, truly, this is not my realm, but your stuff be looking popping, man. So can I get some key? But in releasing that control of, I should know this. I should be able to do this. I should have this. When it's probably something that we constantly do or are constantly doing or have done that is taken away from why we haven't received these certain things. And so if my back pedal, if I'm dropping on the last step, when this person next to me is driving through it, yeah, his result is going to be much better than mine. Maybe I need to look. And that was one of the biggest lessons, because then I was able to be observant and understand the thing, the conversational cues to listen for, the social cues to listen for or watch for. Or I was able to learn faster because I was able to say, hey, this person stands out more than this person, and this is the reason why. And it helps me navigate my own psyche in this last bit of you versus you, is like, I'm getting out of my way because I'm leaning on these different things that I'm pulling from and being able to tap into, and not solely trying to say Cam did it from start to finish. And I did it by myself when it was a team sport the whole time.
Right. So, there's three things that I want to emphasize. Number one, the lesson that your mom was allowing you to learn, though you didn't grasp it at that time, but learning it, understood it later on in life, that every choice that we make has a consequence, right? That we can't shortcut the process. Being honest about whatever it is that we need to be honest about will get us further than trying to cheat and cut, you know what I'm saying? And then suffer the consequences of that. But the second thing that you was mentioning, man, as you was sharing, was football being a team sport, number one. But number two, taking little pieces and knowing I don't know everything, right? There was a spirit of humility, a spirit of being teachable, that allowed you to say, man, this person does this good. I want to implement that. This person does this process this way. Man, I want to implement that. And allowed you to form, you know, it kind of formed you into the man that you are today. And I want to kind of share that for those who are watching and listening, that life is going to teach you lessons, right? Don't ever come into any situation thinking that you have it all together, that you know anything. Humble yourself and learn from others, right? Because as you observe and learn from others, it's actually perfecting you to become the best version of yourself. And lastly, and we're going to talk about this, you mentioned you versus you, and we'll talk about what you're actually going to be, what you're currently working on, that I'm excited about, man. I'm super happy that you're actually embarking on this journey, because I truly believe that you have a gift. You have a way of articulating things that you process and making it tangible, right? Like, you're like, when I see you, bro, it's like, man, this is a man's man, you know what I'm saying? Like, but at the same time, there's this level of vulnerability, a level of clarity and identity, not identity, but clarity as to understanding where you're at and where you need to be. Mm-hmm. And so everything that you're sharing, man, is so vital for our listeners to understand. Life is going to throw certain things at you, and it's what you learn from it that's going to propel us to become the best version of ourselves. And I truly believe, Cam, like, for you, football allowed you to kind of formulate, though football at some point you may have thought that is going to be your purpose, your end all tell all, but it's the experiences that you have learned throughout the journey as a child to making it to the pros. And I want to elaborate on that, and I would like for you to share a little bit on that here in a second, that really allowed you to find your ultimate purpose, is the lessons, the setbacks that you have learned throughout that journey. So you said football was the kind of the way that was going to allow you to get out of the situation you're in. And you ended up going to Western Kentucky University. Am I right?
Yep.
Okay. And you play there all 4 years, cornerback.
Yeah.
And so I saw the little awards and stuff like that. So he could do a little something.
Nah, man. I paid a lot of people to write a lot of stuff.
hey, he's like, cut the tape, man. No, but all seriousness, man, you know, seeing that you have a successful career there at Western Kentucky, and then had the opportunity to go and play for Buffalo, am I correct? As a cornerback for the Buffalo Bills. So this is kind of where I want to transition, because there's a lot of lessons that you learned and you was kind of propelling and saying, okay, this is the path, this is the trajectory. And what happened, man, that caused you to life kind of shift, if you don't mind sharing, and what you're learning throughout that process, especially your goals that you set for yourself, that you was, you know, okay, I'm going to accomplish this goal. And, you know, tell us a little bit about that journey, man, and the things that you learned from that.
Yeah, man. I think what a lot of people don't know, or people know small details about the reason my career ended, but it's so plain and simple. The journey from, I feel like, college to the NFL, those 4 years were truly 5 years, I would say, were truly game changing in the sense that I started to obviously become who I was, you know, growing into, right? Mistakes, bad decision, testing waters, whatever the case may be, but also some amazing things on the flip side of that. But I think that the injury came at an interesting time. I had a spine injury the day I got named a starter at Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Morning practice and feeling good. But it was so much that led into that. I think it was years, when I look back at it, it was years of things that led up to God sitting me down permanently and being like, okay, no, you need to deal with some things. The injury came in 2015. My son was being born. Well, it was just born that summer of June in 2015. So I just became a dad. And that was a huge deal for me, because of me not having a dad and him and I building our relationship towards the end of my junior year of high school and things of that nature. But me not having a dad, it was like such a transitional time. And then going into something that I've been working to since I was a kid, you know what I mean? So when I saw a ball, it was just like, this is, so it was like two things that were like coming to a head, and I felt like one had to give, and not in a cynical sense, but like jokingly, it was like one had to give, like it was like dad or football. But my first time being able to really spend Christmas with my son that year, my rookie season of football, with Buffalo, it was right after my surgery, my spine surgery. And it was my first spine surgery. And I couldn't pick my son up, really. He had to sit because I had a spine brace that covered my entire torso and whatnot. And I had to just sit. And I'm sharing this, nobody knows about this. But that entire year, it felt like I was invisible. I was no longer... I felt it in my body, like I was no longer a player. Like I felt it. Like it was because, you know, your body, like any athlete who's done it for a long time, you know, like, you know, your body, you know how, like, oh, I need therapy on this, or, oh, this is going to be sore for a few days, 'cause I knew I did. But this was, I've never had a spine injury, never really had a lower body injury or things like that. But what I realized is what it affected, what it took away. Like I had to walk again. I was on bed rest for months, and I had people watching me. It was like, I couldn't twitch. I couldn't even the smallest movements. Like it's at the center and the base of my spine. So it was like, it took away so much. And I felt invisible throughout that entire year, because it was just a waiting game. It was like physical therapy, testing, injections, seeing physicians. I was getting transported here to here just to see doctor after doctor, getting needles put in me and electricity being hooked up to. Like, it was like torture.
Yeah.
but it I never dealt with it. Like it was like everything felt like I was just moving through moments, right? I interacted with, even though I built some great relationships, and it's not like I forget everything. It's just more so when I look back at that time, I definitely was depressed, didn't know it, or knew it, didn't want to say anything, or couldn't figure out how to say anything.
right. For
reasons, but it was a lot of long, and I was up there by myself, really. You know what I mean? And so when the injury happened, they tell you, hey, we're going to do these tests, we're going to do therapy, X, Y, and Z, we're going to see you back in X amount of months or by this week in the season, whatever the case may be. My story, it just kept on happening. Like, I had surgery at the end of the season and then got released the following season for complications, can't talk about. But more so, it happened so fast that I just wanted to get past it. Like, I got a son. Okay, so now I got to go to be a dad in a place where, again, I'm moving by myself, don't know anybody. And during that journey, I was still weirdly dealing with everybody knows that I'm didn't just retire. It was, okay, are you going to go back and play or are you still injured? And I think more so the mental side of that was I didn't communicate anything with really anybody, but it was times where I would be in my apartment in Nashville and friends would come knock on a window because I wouldn't answer my phone, turn my phone on do not disturb, just in case, because I didn't know, like, bro, I didn't step away from this. This just happened. It was a freak accident and nobody has answers for it. And so now I'm like, okay, where do I go? And I was supposed to be this. Everybody sees me as this. I was the best at this. And now I can't physically do it. And so here is like everything lives. And so, my journey was more so, during that time, it was more so a veil being put over my head that first rookie season. I remember a lot, obviously. It was a great time, a great experience, and things, great relationships, things of that nature. But I couldn't fully enjoy or live out the dream that I, you know, really chased my entire life leading up to that moment, because physically it just stopped. And
First and foremost, man, thank you so much for sharing, especially that aspect of your life that you haven't really shared with anyone. And the reason, and it's so important to understand, is we're kind of seeing a lot of athletes now talking about mental health, that they've been conditioned and wired to only do this, that when that thing is taken away, or as for you, their body gives out and you're just like, in my mind, right? I feel like I can do it, but my body is saying you can't. It does take a toll. And especially a lot of these athletes, and even in our conversations, like, we didn't really been taught how to process feelings and emotions, how to communicate our feeling. You know, if we're always accustomed and conditioned to like shut down and shun people when things get difficult or strong emotions take over, that's going to be our natural default. And, I want to kind of say this, I want to share this with you. And for those who's listening as well, you said you was invisible, but as you were sharing, I was like, man, I think that was a process of a new rebirth for you, man, because you said that you're okay. I've never been a dad before. I didn't have a dad in my life. And now this is a whole new experience, yet this is the dream and the goals that I want to achieve. And this is taken away from me. And that rebirth allowed you to focus your energy on your son, to teach him everything that you didn't learn growing up. And I want to share this to you. This is me talking to you, bro. Like, your dedication as a father and your passion to be the best dad you can be, bro, it's admirable, man. And I want to say, continue what you're doing, bro. And so all of the men that's out there, we fail to realize that the things that we were lacking or what we failed to learn as children, we have to now learn as men. And sometimes God places little individuals in our lives, right, to learn things that we didn't learn, and it's trial and error, and we feel like, yo, I'm not perfect, but that's the point. Is not about perfection. It's about learning what we've learned and growing from that experience and teaching what we know is the best valuable lessons, man. And so, which is kind of which I kind of want to conclude here, because this journey that you've been on, bro, from father being absent in your life to the pressure of the, you know what I'm saying, of family and friends saying, all right, Cam, you're going to be next, mm-hmm. to getting to the university and college, balling out, getting the opportunity to fulfill your dreams, that those dreams being taken out, to deal with mental health, to deal with depression, to deal with these setbacks that you didn't ask for, right? But life mm-hmm. gave to you, because some way the universe, God, has entrusted you to deal with those situations, because no one else could and is capable of dealing with this situation except for you. And this is where the journey for me gets beautiful, man, because when I listen to your podcast and when we have our conversations about the things that men struggle with, when you said, man, Lo, like, I really don't know what the next phase is. And I'm thinking to this whole entire time, I'm like, bro, you got a gift and a talent that, though you may not express it on the field, bro, like, you got a wealth of knowledge to share to a whole generation of young people who, one, don't have, you know, father figures in their life, two, wish they could have a mentor and a coach to kind of guide them through the ups and downs of the experiences that you went through. I just never said anything because I'm like, he'll figure it out. And when you hit me with that text, like, yo, what's your thoughts about this? I was like, let's go, bro. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, I know that you fulfilling this new chapter in your life, the you versus you training, is going to impact so many more lives than you can imagine, than you being on that football field. I truly believe that. So I want you to share what got you to this point. Like, you know what? I've been battling with all of these situations, you know, going to doctor appointment. Man, I got a son, I got a, you know, raise. I'm going through all these difficult situations. And now mm-hmm. you kind of finally found a niche that you said, you know what? I think this is the direction that life is taking me on. Tell me how you got to that journey. What is you versus you training is about, and how can people sign up?
Oh, man, you're great at this. I want to be like you when I grow up.
No, it all, man, you inspire me in so many different ways, man. And so just with the conversations that we have, my guy, like those go a long way. And I'm just, you know, we kind of talk, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and he was sharing with his wife. It's like, you know, I was like, men can just connect, and we can, like, yo, bro, like we didn't know each other till 2 years ago, and you can't tell me nothing, man. I feel like we've known each other for years, bro. Like, this, yeah. You're yeah. my brother for life, man. And it's because of the real, genuine conversation that we had that most people don't have. And so, thanks. My words to you is only based on the things that I've observed and the conversation that we had, man. So, yeah, as much as you say I'm good with words, it only stems from what I've observed, man. And I'm only sharing what I've observed and what I know of you up to this point, man. So
thank you, bro. We experience what we are going to become or what we are going to do, I feel like, multiple times, a multitude of ways, multitude of times throughout our existence up to the point where we discover it again or it comes up or things of that nature. I'm a firm believer in that. And I'm such a literal thinker of, like, reincarnation or so many different things that I feel like God gives us little reminders, like little angels, little seeds, little things of that nature to say, hey, remember, you used to like this. Remember, you love it. Remember, and I've always been good with, I raised my oldest nephew, you know what I mean? Like my oldest sister, when I was 7, she had her first child. And he's my little homie. And then two more came. And then they were my little homie. And they went to every game. They were at their, like, my championship game in the pitcher, the steel shot of the team. They're in the on the field inside. Like, they had just got off the road from Virginia. So, like, the aspect of me connecting with people who are, I think it comes more so of the protector in me and the little kid that I always see when I parent, but also that I see in these little kids and even young teens or adults who still haven't grown to, it's just like, I see that little kid in me, you know what I mean? And I see it in them. And so when it comes to you versus you training, I think that a lot of the aspects, yes, is going to be, you know, movement drills, is going to be skill position, is going to be, you know, training, strengthening, speed, all of those things, like, which is amazing. Anything on the field related is going to be amazing for anyone who signs up, who wants to enhance their game, who wants to learn, you know, different things to look for. I mean, I could go on for days on the football side of it. But I think one thing that definitely impacted me later on when I look back at the player that I was and the person who I was, but also a lot of these kids, I'm sure, or players still, who don't tap into this from I'm smart on the field and I can study film well, I can see things, but more so your identity. I think that the You Versus You title obviously came, I know it came from just me referencing our biggest battle, I believe. And I say it's a battle because it is. I don't think that it's something lightly to be taken lightly or to be looked at, oh, but is you versus yourself? Oh, that's no. Because that same little snark remark is that the negative side of you is looking like, okay, yeah, and I'm gonna throw something else at you, whether it's self-talk, whether it's environment, whether it's who you allow in, who you don't allow, like, is so many different reasons why you will tell you not to do something, or to tell you why you're not good, to tell you should doubt yourself, or this isn't gonna work, or you can't go there, or they shouldn't choose you, or whatever it is. Well, 99.1, so it's not gonna go high, percent of the time, it's because you are deciding. Right. You know what I mean? And I think the more that we get outside of ourselves and we do implement other styles or other processes or other conversations or other people or the help, and we say, yo, I can't do this by myself, I know that I may get in my way. And majority of me looking back at that player and that person that I was in my career, I got my way so many times. It is times where I had terrible games because it was like, not the competition was better. It was because you, and when I got in my own head, it was nobody who can get me out of it. It had to be me. It legit couldn't be somebody who gives me a quote or a scripture or a pleasantry of, hey, man, it's going to be okay, or we'll get them next time. No. However long I decide I'm going to deal with it, I'm going to deal with it. And I hang on to it at times. And a lot of the times, you know, you get taught, especially at sports, but in football, that the next play, you got, especially being a defensive back, you got to move on to the next play. You can't linger on this. But I lingered a lot in my career, not just on the field, but in life. It was like I lingered on relationships. I lingered on death. I lingered on not having things. I lingered on, it was so much. And I told myself the story that I can't have this. I shouldn't have this. I did this. So I should. And I need to be in this chaos and this friction and this hell because this is what I came from. So I need to stay there. And when I look back, not many people would look at me and say, Cam, you need to stay there. And when I look back and I was like, damn, if nobody else is telling me that, then who's telling? Oh, you are. So a lot of these athletes who come into and potentially come in and get training with me, they're going to understand that before you are able to be somewhat elite athlete or whatever the case may be at whatever stage you are right now. But I guarantee you, if you're able to define that conversation and that battle between you and you, and you don't even have to have full control over it. It's more so that you know what you need in those moments. That's more beneficial than saying, oh, I can handle it. Well, if you can handle it, you wouldn't did it. Or you can handle it. Is more so knowing, hey, I'm in this moment and I need help, or I need to do this, or whatever the case may be. And I'm still learning that. Like, I constantly make mistakes. And being a parent is like, yo, again, it's you versus you. It's like the parent, the dad that I want to be is like, yo, son, I can't yell at you for making this mistake over and over again. We got to learn a new process. Maybe you're in your way right now, bro. maybe you need to get out of your own way and try my way a little. And it's right. We're balancing these things. And so with you versus you, it's like, yo, I want you to identify who you are. I want to identify what the game is. I want you to identify why you're playing this game. I want to identify all of these different things. So when we get on the field, you step, you run, you strike, you all of these different things with confidence and power that when in any battle, ain't nobody going to be able to shake you because you solid there. You know what I mean? So that's essentially
I love it.
What it is, man.
I love it, man. And as you're sharing, it's not just X's and O's and skills drills. It's a mentality. It's understanding who you are and how you can overcome yourself. I mean, for very practical sense, man, I've been getting back in the gym, trying to get in shape. And it's crazy. Like when that alarm goes off, they ain't nobody telling you not to go or to go. It's you deciding whether or not you're going to go, right? It's
or when you want to stop.
Facts. So it's no one telling you, like, all right, I decide whether or not I want to continue to push forward or if I want to stop. So it really is the greatest battle that we have to face is ourselves. And if we can overcome ourselves, then we are going to be the best version of ourselves, man. I want to, you know, every podcast I try to emphasize purpose, right? And helping people find their identity, man. And the definition of purpose is the reason of which something is done, created, or for which something exists. And Cam, I really do truly believe that this is what you've been created to be. This is your purpose. This is what you have been designed. All of those situations that you've gone through, bro, has prepared you for this moment. And I'm going to be your biggest fan and your biggest supporter. And whoever's watching and listening, you need to hit up my man, Cam Thomas, you know what I'm saying, and get this training. So if you're in the Nashville area, hit him up. I'll post the link to his website under the description on the YouTube channel, as well as Spotify. But man, I've seen this man in action as we volunteered when I was living in Nashville at the Dream Center and how he poured in to these young people's lives. And if some of these kids, man, you wouldn't think that they would care to listen to anything that anybody want to say. And I've seen this brother snatch this, you know, kid up and, man, before you know it, he was to his hip. Oh, where's Cam at? Where's Mr. Cam at? And so he has a gift and an ability to really pour into these young people, man. That's a passion of mine. And I think that's the reason why God ordained for us to connect and to meet, man, to continue on this journey, to really make an impact in people's lives. And not only in lives of the people, but in the community and the world at large, man. So I just want to say thank you so much, bro, for taking the time to share your story, to be open and vulnerable. And I hope that the people who are watching can know you're not in this battle alone. You know what I'm saying? When we talk about mental health, when we talk about the struggles as men, black men, you're getting a perspective from, I remember telling Cam this one time, man, you know, we was having a conversation and we're both kind of going through certain situations at the time. And I'm like, yo, Cam, like, bruh, do you understand that you are part of the elite? You're part of the 1% of the world who all desire to make it to the pros that you made it. Like, not too many people can say that. And just the fact that you made it and was able to achieve your goal, though you may not have a career in it, you're part of that 1%, man. You have been cut from a different cloth. And I think God has really prepared you for a time just as this to speak from an experience that most people cannot speak from, man. And so as soon as I relaunched this podcast, I was like, Cam, you're going to be one of my first guests on. And sure enough, we made it happen, man. So I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much. Keep striving, man. Keep inspiring. Continue to live out the purpose that I know that you have designed to live out to. And those who are watching, make sure you go follow. So give them your IG account so that way they can give you a follow. What's your IG, Cam?
It's pretty simple. It is C Thomas. So C-T-H-O-M-A-S. _5. So
_5. All right, y'all, make sure you get him on a follow. You can follow me at Loami Richardson, first name, last name. And man, just again, thank you so much for checking out this episode of Let's Talk About It with my man Cam Thomas, as we talked about mental health, purpose, and discovering how we can find ourselves and align ourselves to our calling based on our past experiences. Until next time, guys. Peace.